Hello and welcome to another Mumbrella podcast. My name is Nick Christensen and I'm here with Bob Leodis from the ANA in the US. Bob, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Bob, I'm just interested. I'm following up a bit on the financial management conference you just had in Boca Raton a week or two ago. I'm interested from your sense. It felt like transparency was really an undercurrent across a number of the sessions, and I just wondered if you could give our Australian listeners a sense of how big an issue this is in the US and why you think it's such an issue for marketers and agencies alike.
Yeah, I transparency is the undercurrent, and I think transparency has been accelerating over the past few years as a result of more marketers are doing their marketing through technology-based platforms. And those platforms have become increasingly complex, with marketers essentially far less skilled and trained in how to be able to maximize their knowledge and understanding of what makes sense to them, how to be able to build their brands, and how to logically manage their resources in a very fundamental way. And so what has happened, I think, over the course of time is there's been an increasing disconnect, considering the Lumascape, or the digital media supply chain, which is so complex. The utilization of programmatic and agency trading desks to execute increasing levels of their media spend, and probably less sophistication on the marketer's part in being able to deal with this, essentially this new reality. So I think when you add all of that up together, you get an arena that has become far less transparent and understandable to the marketer.
That was one of the interesting things, talking to a number of your members. It felt like a number of them, if they not understand it, that they were really concerned about, and there were elements of transparency in that digital space, and in particular programmatic, that they were really concerned about.
And appropriately so. And I think when you all of a sudden introduce a major technological infusion into the way that we do business, especially when that piece of business is in high demand, you create the essentially the ingredients, or I should say the recipe, for levels of concern and perhaps sometimes distrust in how those recipes are essentially being baked into their plans.
Bob, you've also had this report going on for the last, 6-8 months with K2.
Yes.
And Firm Decisions. That report's coming out in the coming weeks.
That's correct.
I know you can't talk about the report itself yet, but in terms of the conversation that's likely to spark, is that going to be a US-only conversation, or do you think
yes.
it'll have broader ramifications, given that these are multinational groups?
No, it's a great question. The study was conducted solely based upon the U.S. marketers, but for all practical purposes, there will be, I think, lessons learned for all marketers and agencies and media companies around the world. Yes, each country has their own specific nuances and differences, but I think the fundamental principles of how we do business will essentially be clarified, and where there may be shortfalls, both on the agency and the marketer side, will become very apparent, and I think will provide important lessons learned for how we proceed further.
It strikes me, in Australia we've had a transparency debate, particularly around some activities with one or two agency groups. I know the UK's put out some new rules recently.
Yes.
You're also doing your thing. Do you think there's a global transparency conversation being had across markets now?
Oh, I definitely think that's the case, and I know that from my participation on the WFA, which is the World Federation of Advertisers. The U.S. is part of their executive committee and their board, and this is an important topic of conversation. I will tell you that the WFA is very interested in the findings of our report, and I do think that this will spur a further conversation almost in every market around the world.
Okay. Some of those other topics that you mentioned at the ANA conference, and that also feels like part of the global conversation, is around ad fraud,
yeah.
ad blocking, etc. Where do you think that's going in terms of the global conversation?
Well, let's take ad fraud first. I think ad fraud is front and center in terms of the global conversation, not only from the respect that there are billions and billions of U.S. dollars that are being stolen from marketers' pocketbooks, but more importantly, I think, is what's happening with that money? Who is getting that money? We have been historically thinking about this as sheer theft, but when we start to translate to perhaps more than 7 billion U.S. dollars and who is stealing that money, you come up with some pretty necessary answers. The concerns stem from could these dollars be flowing into the pocketbooks of organized crime and people who are involved in human trafficking and perhaps even terrorism? We don't know. And I think that as we start to speculate upon those situations, there is increasing concerns that marketers have in terms of where their dollars may in fact be flowing. So this is a global concern. I do know that at the last meeting of the WFA back in March, this is a conversation that got in extensive, intense debate, and I can guarantee that this will be a conversation that will extend for the next couple of years. And in the U.S., we're working with an organization that we created called TAG, the Trustworthy Accountability Group, that I think is making some very positive steps in being able to limit and control fraud, and I think that the lessons that are learned there are also translatable around the globe. Ad blocking is a very thorny issue, and it's an issue that I think the marketing community has created unto itself, because in the desire to put more ads on a page and monetize the demand for advertising, I think we've created our own mess where consumers
are our worst enemy when it comes to
that. Well, you know, we think that the situation is ripe for monetization and creating wins, and in its pure sense it can, because you go where the consumers are and they are going to mobile and digital devices, and that's great. But when you overdo anything, you know, too much of a good thing is not a good thing at all, and I think that's what we've created. And now we've got, you know, more than 200 million downloads of ad blocking software that are on a very high trajectory around the world. Within the next 2 weeks, the ANA, the IAB, and the 4As, the Advertising Agency Association, will be getting together with their boards of directors to address this issue head on. We have got to get ourselves organized around this and find ways to mitigate the situation, but it all starts with the consumer. We really have to remember that the only real long-term solution is to form a better pact with the consumers.
And finally, Bob, viewability has also been a big topic.
Yes.
It feels like the U.S. is really leading the charge here instead of other markets. Can you give us a sense of where you are on that?
Yeah, we have been working on this for a good 7-8 years. Its rollout has been slower than we'd like it to be, but what we are thrilled about is that the concept of currency being a viewable impression as opposed to a served impression has really begun to take hold. And the concept is very simple, is that the marketers only want to pay for those ads that have the opportunity to be seen, which is very similar to television. If it has the opportunity to be seen but isn't, okay, but at least the consumer had the opportunity to be seen. Previously, we had been trading on served impressions where 40 to 50% of served impressions had no opportunity to be seen, and marketers were paying for those ads whether they could be seen or not, and actually we couldn't see them. So there was a lot of money that's been wasted. I will say this, I think that the trend line has been very positive. In the U.S., we've got an organization called the Media Ratings Council, which is prosecuting the processes by which all of these things can happen, and we're finding more of the ecosystem trading in viewable impressions.
How much of this has to be led by the publishers? I know in Australia we've had concerns from the publishers that they don't feel they're ready yet, and they're concerned that it will hurt them financially. In the U.S., it feels like a more advanced conversation where the publishers are on board.
Well, they are on board because they recognize that marketers are not going to pay for impressions that they can't have their consumers be seen. So, yes, it was clearly a very challenging transition, but the alternative is marketers run away from the media. So you can only play that card for so long, and if you don't wake up to the reality that that the digital space will no longer become a preferred media vehicle, you'll face the reality of marketers won't go there. What has to happen and will happen is that this is a marketplace, and like any marketplace, pricing considerations will adjust accordingly. And if in fact a marketer is going to pay for a higher quality viewable impression, then that should somehow be built into the pricing equation, and publishers, agents,